This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
A lawn sign reads, Jesus 2024, our only hope. A number of people have responded to me by email saying, amen and amen. Jesus 2024, our only hope. Well, as we all know, it's 1 week till destiny. 1 week until destiny. And indeed, the United States of America, via its capital, the clamoring for rulership of the capital, Washington, D.C., and the presidency, is in its final legs. Final legs, the race for the White House. But it's really a race for something else. It's a race that's more profound. It's a race that has to do with deep moral and spiritual issues. It truly is a race that may very well determine destiny. So I'm glad that you joined us. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's Conversation with Ever-Increasing Conviction, talk that transforms. And today on Viewpoint, we'll take a little bit more look at that. And then we're also going to switch to a different battle, the battle for Jerusalem. For in a sense, the battle for Jerusalem is even more profound, because it involves the Bible, it involves God's viewpoint, Jesus' viewpoint concerning the world and concerning history, concerning destiny, and we'll talk about each of those here on Viewpoint today. So again, thanks for joining us. It's Conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. Jesus 2024, our only hope. Well, that's true whether it be Donald Trump or whether it be Kamala Harris, right? Neither one of them are God-specific, ordained, picked agents like David was in the scriptures, where God said that he would establish the throne of David forever and ever. And through Jesus Christ, that throne would be established. That doesn't mean that God does not, in these times, set people together for leadership, design, destine, call them, appoint them, and so on, for leadership. So who would be appointed, who would be called for leadership in the United States of America today? Would it be Kamala Harris, or would it be Donald J. Trump? An article came out just this last week. In fact, it actually came out today. It's called Most Ferocious Dictatorship. Kamala described as an infernal monster who obeys Satan. Now, that's not coming from Donald Trump, and it's not coming from anybody within the Republican Party. It's coming from outside the Republican Party. It's coming from outside the United States of America. It's coming from a Roman Catholic Church leader, Carlo Maria Vigano, who was the Vatican's ambassador to the United States from 2011 and 2016. And he has just described Kamala Harris as, quote, an infernal monster who obeys Satan, unquote. Now, I'm going to let you determine, I'm reporting the news, so to speak, I'm going to let you determine whether he's correct or incorrect or partially correct. You make the choice. He said, the election this year is in fact described by many as a spiritual fight. What with the likelihood Harris would push harder for the Biden-Harris administration's top agenda items of abortion for all and transgenderism, including body mutilations for children, along with many other things, he says. Vignano, in an open letter to Catholics, explained there's no question that they should vote for Trump. He said voters in just days must decide between the radically opposed ways of conceiving the government of your nation. McDonald was excommunicated last year by the Pope because he opposed the Pope's very liberal viewpoints, which include, by the way, the Pope's statement that all religions worship the same God. So Vignano says the choice is between a conservative president who is paying with his very life for his fight against the deep state and an infernal monster who obeys Satan. For a Catholic, he said, there could be no question. Voting for Kamala Harris is morally inadmissible and constitutes a very grave sin. Nor is it morally possible to abstain, because in this war, declaring oneself neutral means allying oneself with the enemy. Pignano explained that voting is a moral duty. But the 2024 vote choice, he said, is more than that, as it's between two radically opposed ways of conceiving the government of your nation. You're called to choose between democracy and dictatorship with Kamala Harris, or between democracy and dictatorship. Democracy, his view is that that represents Donald Trump, and dictatorship, Kamala Harris, or between freedom with Donald Trump and slavery under Kamala Harris. That's his viewpoint now. Harris America, he said, is destined for invasion and for moral, social, economic destruction, the most ferocious dictatorship, he warned. Democrat-run cities, for example, now are dumps filled with derelicts and criminals, drug dealers and addicts, prostitutes and robbers. Your schools are dens of indoctrination and corruption from kindergarten onwards. In your courts, criminals are acquitted and innocents are imprisoned. New ideological crimes are prosecuted while illegality is tolerated and encouraged even in your hospitals. So, is he right or is he wrong? Is he partially right or totally right? Or is he totally wrong? At the same time, the great-grandchild of Billy Graham accused Donald Trump of being a megalomaniac. That's true. So what is true? What do you believe? And why would you form that opinion when others say that to vote for Kamala Harris is to vote for virtually the Antichrist? That's what someone just this last weekend came out and called Kamala Harris, virtually the Antichrist, not meaning the Antichrist, but the spirit of Antichrist. Another called Harris a vessel for radical left machine. So what are we to believe? What will you believe? Have you done your homework? Have you done your homework? Bottom line, from my viewpoint, Jesus 2024, that's our only hope. But neither one of these candidates is Jesus, and neither are you. Oh, that's right, neither are you and neither am I. So we can't expect anyone to be perfect, so what we have to do is choose. We have to choose, like Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me, he said, I'm going to serve the Lord. So when you vote in a week, or if you are voting before voting day, election day, how are you determining your vote? Are you voting for Jesus for the most part, or are you voting for the opposite? It's pretty simple, it would seem. But it seems like the waters are being stirred greatly out there. And it's 1 week to destiny. At the same time, the battle for Jerusalem is raging, whether you realize it or not. And we're going to talk about that. It's a dangerous war. At stake, who will rule and reign over the whole planet? We'll be back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
It's interesting and absolutely true that God did not choose to put his name in Washington, D.C. He chose to put his name in Jerusalem. That's what the Bible says. In fact, he chose to put his king on his holy hill in Jerusalem, the Temple Mount. So the battle, the real battle, the biggest battle in the world today is not about Washington. It's not about Ukraine or Russia or China. It's not about Iran. It's about Jerusalem. And it's about who is going to rule and reign from the Temple Mount. And that's why I wrote the book, King of the Mountain, the eternal epic end time battle, for it is said that he who rules the Temple Mount rules the world. And indeed, that's where the bigger battle lay. Now, we want to talk about and have been talking for a year, since October 7th, 2023, been talking about the battle of Hamas attacking Israel, seemingly unprovoked, and then the reciprocating back and forth from that, and Hamas periodically executing hostages for fun, for pride, for control, for power. And then Hezbollah picking up the steam from there and sending over thousands of rockets into Israel, causing a massive number of people to leave their homes in the north of Israel because it was totally unsafe. And then Iran sending 1,000 rockets over into Israel. And Israel now sending its own dispensation of rockets into Iran to destroy many of their rocket, what should we say, rocket building and construction centers. And so the war goes on. But what's the war really about? What is the war really about? You don't hear any talk about that. Not really, not from a biblical viewpoint. A Palestinian Authority Prime Minister, Ahmad Khoury, in 2005 made this statement: the fight has begun for Jerusalem. Now, that was 25 years ago, more than that, almost 30 years ago. Well, 25 years ago, the fight has begun for Jerusalem. And he said it's a dangerous war. 5 years later, Arut Sheva, Israel National News headline said, the battle for Jerusalem, noting, so goes Jerusalem, so goes the peace process. So the opinion commentary in Israel National News presented the controversy confronting the nations in this way: the focus on settlements or the occupation has now taken a backseat to the focus on Jerusalem itself. And the focus on Jerusalem is actually the focus on the Temple Mount, because this 37 acres called the Temple Mount is deemed to be the most priceless acreage on the planet. Priceless. Truly priceless. Because the leaders of the world, the forces, the spiritual forces of the world, see Jerusalem, and particularly the Temple Mount, as containing, as embodying the ultimate power to control and determine the destiny of the world. So the battle for Jerusalem will truly be a dangerous war. It already is. No war in the history of mankind is going to have had more momentous impact. And at stake, what's at stake? Well, it's the final battle for King of the Mountain. Who will rule and reign over the planet? Not who will rule and reign over Washington, D.C., but who will reign over the entire planet. Now, it could be, though, that the election coming up in 1 week will actually set the stage and the direction toward the answer to the question, who will rule and reign over the Temple Mount? Who will rule and reign over Jerusalem? You may not see it. You may not understand it. But after all, it was Donald Trump who for the first time during his presidency established, when Democrat and Republican leaders refused to do so, even though Congress authorized the establishment of the American embassy in Jerusalem. But over and over and over, every 6 months, Republican and Democrat presidents, scared out of their minds, refused to do so until Donald Trump. And he determined it was time to establish and put America's embassy not in Tel Aviv, but in Jerusalem. Not only that, but he declared Jerusalem to be the eternal capital of Israel, something nobody else was willing to do. Why would he do that? Does it have any significance, for instance, for the vote that you and I are going to engage in within a week? Maybe it does. Maybe it has more significance than you might think. Because now it begins to look like this may be a much, much bigger, more complex issue than anybody has thought about. Because that takes it way beyond illegal immigration, way beyond abortion, way beyond transgenderism, way beyond even Marxism. It takes it to a massive confrontation, perhaps, with God himself. If God himself has declared that he has chosen to place his name in Jerusalem, and he's going to set his king, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, on his holy hill, the Temple Mount, that's putting the developments in our world in a very, very different perspective, isn't it? So the Palestinian cause really is a mere political and religious ploy to obscure the true objective. The purported compassion driving the nations, including the Democrat Party, to demand a two-state solution for the ultimate establishment of world peace has become a powerful diversion, providing, you might say, cover for the nefarious purposes lurking in the global shadows that are going to be coming about as globalism is making its way, inevitably, even through American politics, particularly through the Democrat Party. And this could unleash, with a vengeance, an intent on victory in the ultimate cataclysmic battle for Jerusalem itself. Could you see that? So with these winds of war that are blowing with gale force now, they're revealing both the motive and the method in the passionate pursuit to become king of the mountain. And you won't even hear those words in the campaigns. But lurking behind the scenes, that's what it's all about. It's all about globalism. And the global order of things is to take over and rule and reign over the earth from the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Are you listening? Now, with that in mind, if you do not already have the book King of the Mountain, The Eternal Epic End Time Battle, you need to get it, and you need to get it right away to open your eyes to the reality of what is actually taking place in front of us. It's a $20 book, yours for $15. It's on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. You can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Or you can write to P.O. Box Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879. Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. Now, there's something that I want to mention to you, and someone has emailed us and said that they're having a very hard time listening to the program, claiming that the level is so low that they have to listen over and over again. If that is true, in your situation where you are listening and where you are living, we need to know. But in order for us to respond to that, we need to know not just that you think the level is low, but where and how you're receiving the program. What city do you live in? What station are you listening to? Or what network are you listening to? What means are you using to get the program? All of those things are important. Please let us know send us an email, give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Because if you can't listen to the program easily, something is wrong. Okay? So please help us in this regard. All right. Now, beyond that, I want to urge you to, if you have not already voted, to perhaps consider getting in the act to do that so that you don't get caught in a situation where something comes up on election day and you can't do it, or you justify that you can't do it. Every vote counts. It's very important to register your will, hopefully as an expression of God's will. Because after all, isn't that what you and I as Christians are supposed to do? This is not about a secular exercise. Ultimately, it's a spiritual exercise to vote. Because our viewpoint needs to line up with the Bible's viewpoint, God's viewpoint, on as many issues as possible. This isn't about your feelings. This isn't about my feelings. It's about truth. Where does the truth lie as between these candidates? That's the issue. From God's perspective, not from your feelings perspective, but from God's perspective. Okay? All right. That having been said, we move forward with thanksgiving that we have the privilege of voting. Remember, we're just 1 week from destiny. And the yard sign, I have the picture of it right now, Jesus 2024, our only hope. Well, how is Jesus going to be elected, so to speak, in absentia for 2024? Only through your vote and mine, the vote of professing Christians. We are supposed to be his ambassadors. We're supposed to represent his viewpoint. So if you don't vote, you're abandoning your ambassadorship. We're abandoning the very thing that God gives us the privilege to do. How in the world would Jesus and his principles govern our country if we are not, as professing Christians, willing to take a stand and take the effort to vote? You don't have to agree with every single thing that the person represents, that the candidate represents. What you have to do is discern the difference. It's not about personality. It's not about smiles. It's not about laughter. It's about truth. It's about the positions or policies that are either clearly or hidden with the various candidates. Think about that. We're ambassadors, even at the voting booth. So let's be very careful about things like that. At the same time, the Bible says pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we should do that. Jerusalem has become, in effect, the center of the world. And from God's viewpoint, it is. He who would rule the world has to reign in Jerusalem. So will it be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? The God of Jacob, Israel, as revealed in and through Yeshua ben David, that is Jesus? Or was it going to be Allah? Or is it going to be the vicar of Christ empowered by the Vatican? Or an ascendant of a secular global cabal with its counterfeit Messiah, elevating like the goddess of reason over the creator? You see, prophecy is soon going to become history for what you might call the city of God, that is Jerusalem. So, the real question looming over the fate of the holy city then is much greater than who will be king of the mountain. Rather, it's who is God, who will be God. And I noticed, well, there it is. That's what I was expecting. So the real question looming over the fate of the holy city then is much greater than who will be king of the mountain. It's rather, who is God and who will be God? That's the battle on earth. It's going to be nothing other than a final playing out of the cosmic war historic in the heavens between God and his enemy Satan. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
The battle for Jerusalem is the bigger battle looming in our world. It supersedes anything that China is doing, or Russia is doing, or the Russian-Ukrainian issue, or Iran, or Hezbollah, or Hamas, or even our election. But our election may determine the direction, even the destiny, of all of those other issues. And below it all, lurking below in the basement of that decision, is the spiritual roots of why we vote or don't. And if we don't get that right, then Jesus will never be leader in 2024 in this country. And that's our only hope. Our only hope is for the gospel and the principles of Jesus. The word, will, and ways of God should be foremost in our votes. Now, the same is true with regard to Jerusalem. You see, Jerusalem supersedes Washington, D.C. Jerusalem is the place God chose to plant his name there, not Washington, D.C. As important as we know and think that Washington, D.C. is, God says through Isaiah, all the nations are as a drop in the bucket. Wow. So Jerusalem was the capital of King David 3,000 years ago. So it's written there in the book of Isaiah that the Redeemer of Israel, Messiah, the Prince of Peace, shall return to rule upon the throne of David. He's going to rule with true judgment and justice. But Satan is determined that that's not going to happen. So throughout time, he sought to triumph over God's eternal purposes. So to make void the covenant of promised salvation for mankind through Jesus Christ, his anointed one. So Lucifer, you see, lusts after glory. His ambition is to rule the earth for his purposes. And the nations want to be free of divine restraint, that is God's restraint. Ever since the dawn of history, Satan has opposed the Jewish people as well as Jerusalem, their capital. And he's opposing Christians today. That's what persecution is all about. Persecution is not quite the same as anti-Semitism. Persecution is specifically against professing Christians because they stand for the reign and rule of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, notwithstanding what any other power broker wants to say, including Kamala Harris, or Donald Trump, for that matter, or anybody else. So this, at right now, at this hour of history, I got to tell you that the heat is being turned up. And pretty soon it's going to be hotter than Nebuchadnezzar's burning fiery furnace, if you can imagine that. Because Satan knows that the time of Christ's coming is fast approaching and time's running out. So our world and its leaders are promoting unprecedented rebellion against God. We're seeing it even in this political campaign. The things that people are standing for are so anti-biblical, dramatically anti-biblical, that maybe that's the reason why the Archbishop from the Vatican to the U.S. declared, Maria Vignano declared that Kamala Harris was an agent of Satan. Determined to reign destructively upon our country and therefore the world. Is he right? You make the decision. But that's what he said. So, unfortunately, our world and its leaders are promoting unprecedented rebellion against God and everything that the Bible stands for. So from their viewpoint, they're winning. But the epicenter of that rebellion is not Washington, D.C. It's the holy city, that is Jerusalem, not the Vatican. Jerusalem, where God chose to put his name there. If you want to find out where it says that, 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 21 is one place. So this is a raging spiritual war that's driving external events, rendering it very difficult, maybe almost impossible, for the proud brokers of our earth to connect the dots, to comprehend the dire consequences that are going to be precipitated in their blinding rage against both Israel, against the Jewish people, and against Christians. And I think it's pretty tragic that most Jews and perhaps most professing Christians remain almost clueless as to the unfolding disaster that's about to consume our planet. Everyone, everything is going to be drawn into what you might call the vortex of God, this swirling mix of prophecy and history that's coming together and sucking the entire world into it. For some, it's going to be for deliverance. For others, it's going to be for judgment. But the one thing that we should not make any mistake over, Jesus Christ will rule the nations from Jerusalem sooner than later. Maybe that's the reason why the prophet Zechariah talked about Jerusalem being a burdensome stone. The decisions of the world's dictatorships and democracies. Jerusalem is becoming a burdensome stone, a cup of trembling, just as Zechariah warned. So in modern terms, you might say, push is coming to shove in regards to Jerusalem. So you might think, I would think, that world leaders, if they had any clue whatsoever as to what the Bible says, and any thought whatsoever, any sort of fear of the Lord whatsoever, they would think triple time about whether they would attack Jerusalem or try to set up some sort of a governmental agency, a world government in Jerusalem. Wouldn't you think so? Especially since God says, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about. And when they shall be in siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem, and in that day, he said, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burn themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, even if all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Wow. In other words, God will not be mocked. He's God. He's God. In fact, if you read the Old Testament, you'll find out that Israel had a great problem with recognizing and agreeing that God was God. They kept superimposing their own viewpoints over God's viewpoint, and it got them into trouble all the time. It got their kings into trouble. God ended up, because of their rebellion, he ended up dispersing, bringing Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, against the 10 northern tribes and dispersing them throughout the face of the earth, taking them captive, dispersing them. And then 135 years later, he did the same thing with Jerusalem, with Judah and Benjamin. And the Romans came in. Remember? Tore down the temple, dispersed the Jewish people throughout the earth, just as God said would be done in Deuteronomy chapter 28 if they would not obey his voice. So what would happen to us, friends? Think about this. What would happen in America if Christians were to take it upon themselves and vote contrary to the word, will, and the ways of the Lord just because they liked a smile or somebody made them feel good? It's not about feelings. It's about faith. And faith is about truth. You see, we have a responsibility. It's not just about Jerusalem right now. It's about our own capital. It's about our own country, which is the last, as Abraham Lincoln said, the last best hope of earth. So what you're dealing with is not business as usual. Push is coming to shove. And almost everybody realizes that this is maybe America's ultimate moment of truth. Like the song used to say, this is my country, and I want to know which way, America, are you going to go? But with Jerusalem, we have to have a completely different viewpoint because we know that God has promised he's chosen Jerusalem to place his name there. No matter what you may think about Jerusalem, he's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. He's going to rule and reign from the Temple Mount. God said so in Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain and foolish thing? Why do the kings of earth set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed, that is Israel, saying, let's tear their bands asunder? But God responds and he says, I'm going to have them in derision. I'm going to laugh at them. They think they're so cool, so powerful. They got it so together. They're going to raise up the Tower of Babel again to rule the world. And so God says, no, I have already set my king on my holy hill. In other words, God already made this decision. That's what's going to happen. So from God's viewpoint, Jesus already sits upon the Temple Mount because there's no time with God. He's outside of time. So what God has determined is already done from his viewpoint. So he says in Psalm 2, now you kings of the earth, you hotshot kings of the earth, you might just want to consider what I've already decreed, and you might just want to kiss the Son, in other words, come into accord with Yeshua, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Savior of the world. You might just want to align with him, because if you don't, you're going to be in deep, deep trouble. We'll be back. This is Viewpoint.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. And if you do not already have the book, King of the Mountain, the eternal epic end time battle, I urge you to get a copy of the book. It's going to open your eyes to see how history and prophecy are coming together and what the goal has been from the beginning. From the beginning, all the way back to creation, and then to Genesis chapter 11 with the Tower of Babel, and then moving forward, it traces from God's viewpoint what he is doing, how he is doing it, why he is doing it, and how the nations are responding to it. In other words, it's connecting the dots so that you can understand it. That's the reason why a Jewish talk show host, when interviewing me concerning this, we started out with, I can't remember whether it was supposed to be a half hour or an hour, and halfway through that interview, he said, would you be willing to come back next week? Because we're obviously not going to even be able to phase this subject. I said, sure. And then the next week, he did the same thing. We ended up having seven different broadcasts, seven different weeks, all on this book, unprecedented. Because he saw, as a Jewish man, he saw something here that he had never seen before. And it gripped him. And it'll grip you too. I can almost guarantee it. So, you can get the book on our website, saveus.org. That's King of the Mountain, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. I do not think you're going to be disappointed. In fact, you may just lament that you didn't get the book earlier, because if you had, you would understand an awful lot more of the dynamics that are taking place as we speak. The whole Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, all of those things. Yeah. Okay. Now, God says that Jerusalem will be inhabited as towns without walls. In fact, God said, I will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, he that touches you, that is Jerusalem, touches the apple of his eye. Whoa. Now that's how important, how serious God looks at this. The Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. He chose it once, and he's choosing Jerusalem again. But unfortunately, the nations don't hear or heed that. Their collective rebellion and rage against the Lord and against his anointed Israel is culminating in catastrophe. So you could say the handwriting is really on the wall of the world's powers. Their so-called nationalized good intentions are driving them to resist the Holy One of Israel, and it ain't going to work to their benefit. It's going to work to their destruction. So, in Zechariah chapter 12, he tells us, in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Now, somebody might say, well, are you trying to say that Israel and the Jews in Jerusalem and so on are all righteous and loving the Lord with a whole heart and so on? No, I'm not saying that at all. You see, that's where people get confused. God made a covenant. He made a promise, his word. And it wasn't contingent upon them. And that is, he chose Jerusalem as the place to place his name there. He didn't say, if the Jewish people love me and are sweetened and say sweet nothings in my ear, then I'm going to put my name there. He didn't say that. He said, this is what I've determined. Now, he has made a commitment with regard to Jerusalem, regardless of what the Jewish people do or are. But that doesn't mean that God isn't going to judge Jews or Israel for its unbelief or its own actions, because the same Zechariah in chapter 13 says that God is going to judge Israel, and two-thirds of them are going to lose their lives in that judgment. So that's up to God, you see. That's not our problem. That's God's problem. Our problem, our burden is to agree with God with regard to what he has said. We don't want to be out of alignment with what God has said. Our problem is not to solve Israel's problem with God. Our problem is to at least honor and respect the Jewish people and Israel as God's anointed, which the Bible says they are. And whether they're not acting in accordance with God's word, will, and ways is between them and God. Our responsibility is to have the right attitude toward them. Not to approve unrighteousness, not to approve their sin, not to approve their rebellion, but to agree with God's viewpoint, having anointed and called them. From there on, it's God's decision as to how to deal with their rebellion. Just like as a professing Christian, maybe even in your own congregation, you know of people that profess to be Christians that are not living accordingly. Maybe they're cohabiting. Maybe they're fornicating. Maybe they're stealing. Like the woman in not too far from where this broadcast emanates. Over about 20 years, siphoned off hundreds of thousands of dollars from a small church. And now she's going to suffer the consequences. But that's not the church's job. That's the government's job. They're the ones that are going to do that. Our job is not to judge we're to discern when people are out of line with God's word, will, and ways. But we're not to condemn. You see, that's God's business. The same is true with our attitude toward Israel, Jerusalem, and the Jewish people. So God's going to destroy the nations that come against Jerusalem. But he's also going to bring heavy, heavy judgment upon the Jewish people. He already has. He has fulfilled everything that he said he was going to do in Deuteronomy chapter 28. The blessings and the cursings. So viewpoint always determines destiny, friends. We need to get our viewpoints right. So you remember the prophet Joel there in chapter 3, he talked about the ancient warning to the world concerning the dividing of the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. And he said this, multitudes, multitudes of the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Well, what's the valley of decision? It's our attitude toward Israel and the Jewish people and Jerusalem. If we don't agree with God's viewpoint, that means we necessarily are agreeing with his arch enemy's viewpoint. It is not our job to be God with regard to Israel. It is our job to line up with God's words and viewpoint toward Israel. It's a matter of attitude. Joel said, the Lord shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth are going to shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. What people is he going to be the hope of? Those that are walking according to his word, will, and ways. Because, as Zechariah said, two-thirds are going to lose their lives in a kind of earthly judgment because of their rebellion. So Joel goes on to say, so shall you know that I am the Lord your God dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy. And Judah shall dwell forever in Jerusalem from generation to generation, for the Lord dwells in Zion. Now, either he does or he doesn't. You may think that he doesn't because you're looking at Israel on the ground and rebellion among many of the leaders of Israel, just as they did to crucify Jesus. But that's not our calling. God is responsible for responding to that attitude. What God wants us to do is have a proper attitude that lines up with his viewpoint, which was, I chose Jerusalem to put my name there, and I have set my king on my holy hill, notwithstanding how so many or even the majority of the Jewish people or Israel are not acting accordingly. Am I making any sense? I hope so, because this is a big problem for Christians. We are not called to approve everything that Israel does. We are not called to approve sin. We're not called to approve unrighteousness, but it is God's job to judge that and discipline accordingly. If God chose them to be his anointed, then it's his job to discipline his anointed. That's not my job. My job is to live according to God's calling in my life and to walk insofar as possible without sin and in righteousness in my own life, so I don't bring God's judgment upon me or upon my country. That, my friends, is why this coming election may be a crucible, a spiritual crucible, not only for this country, but the world, even for Israel. And you don't know. Our job is to respond today according to the word, will, and the ways of the Lord. Not to control what happens 5-10 years from now. We can't do that. But if we will respond today in honesty and integrity and in righteousness and in holiness, even with our own votes, then we can at least be in a position of resting before the Lord and trusting him that he will do his will accordingly. Our job is not to control. Our job is to believe and act accordingly. Are we making any sense here? I hope so. So, Benjamin Netanyahu, whatever you think of Benjamin Netanyahu, he has at least been probably the most courageous and bravest of all of Israel's prime ministers. He's been willing to stand up against his own people, against powers within his own country, risking his own power. He's been willing to stand up against the nations of the earth, including the United States of America, including Barack Obama, including Joe Biden. He's been willing to stand. And for that now, the Jewish people are increasingly said, you know what, this is the kind of leader we need. So what kind of a leader do we need in this country? What kind of a leader has demonstrated the willingness to stand courageously? Just asking. You make the decision. We'll be right back after this, friends. King of the Mountain. The Eternal Epic End Time Battle. Get a copy of the book. $15 will put this $20 book in your hands. $6 postage and handling. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, friends. Our decision is critical. Our attitudes are critical. God bless. Be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.